The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Dose of Leadership Podcast, episode 287.
Welcome to another episode of the Dose of Leadership Podcast, the show that brings you inspiring and educational interviews with today's most relevant and motivating leaders. Each episode is dedicated to highlight real-life leadership and influence experts who dedicate their lives to the pursuit of the truth, common sense, and courageous leadership. And now, here's your host, Richard Ryerson.
Hey, if you're a fan of professional football, you'll recognize today's guest, Bill Cowher. He was the head football coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers for 15 years. He took them to the Super Bowl twice. He lost in 1995 against the Cowboys, but he won Super Bowl 40 against the Seahawks. He's a two-times AFC champion. He's the AP NFL Coach of the Year in 1992. He's the two-time Sporting News NFL Coach of the Year, and he's been inducted in the Pittsburgh Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2011. He's got a win-loss record of 161-99-1, which is about a 61-62% rating. Not too bad. I love Bill Cowher, even though I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and they're in the same division as them. The Steelers were a welcomed rival, and I always appreciated Bill's leadership style. And we talk about that on this show. We talk about, of course, of the most recent Super Bowl 51, how that pertains to leadership, the leadership styles there. I really think you can enjoy this conversation. Hey, check out doseofleadership.com or richardryerson.com to learn more about my coaching and speaking services and my masterminding. I'm always looking to fill a mastermind group, so reach out to me at richard@doseofleadership.com, and I'd love to hear from you. So without further ado, here's former Steelers head coach Bill Cowher on Dose of Leadership. Well, Coach, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Welcome to Dose of Leadership.
Thanks, Richard. Great to be here.
Well, Coach, I'd love to get your take on Super Bowl 51. I mean, as we're recording this, it was less than 2 weeks away, and particularly about the Patriots in terms of from a leadership perspective. You know, they seem to be the team that everybody loves to hate, but I got to tell you, I've always respected the Patriots, and I think the reason why they're so good and why they're so powerful and why that game was so unique is that the Patriots are certainly a talented team, but they have this intensity of will coupled with this tremendous sense of humility. They win humble, and I haven't really heard anybody talk about that in that sense, but I think that is the powerful combination on why the Patriots are so good. I'd love your take on that.
Well, there's no question. I think they win with humility, and I think that's always been a classy part of the New England Patriots. And historically, we talk with Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, you know, and obviously Robert Kraft. I think what they've done is they've created a culture up there where players come in, they check their ego at the door, and it's a very selfless place. And so it's more about camaraderie and what's in the best interest of the team. And I think it's a culture that, you know, that's been built up there again because of the top player is that way. That's the way Tom Brady is. So, there's no question. I think that there's a lot of continuity. There's development of players up there. And again, that usually is a good recipe to have something that is sustainable, particularly in a winning fashion.
Yeah. I mean, so everybody always talks about their talent, particularly in Tom Brady, but talent's a given, right? Especially at that stage. I mean, you got to be talented to be at that level. And if I looked at that game, it's weird, and I see this in sports all the time. I don't even know how you define it, but you just feel something changing in that momentum. It's that nefarious or that kind of ether type quality that starts to take over a game. Why do you think that happens? Is it leadership? Is it talent?
Well, I don't know if it manifests in one game, to be quite honest with you. I think what you have to look at is a body of work, and I think certainly that has been a characteristic of the New England Patriots. Certainly for this last decade. I think when you look at that football game, I think, you know, the tough thing I think you're looking at is, you know, maybe a series of plays that had Atlanta Hawks plays. I got them all except
the right.
Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, I think when you look at them, it was a game they should have won, not a game they could have won. I think there were some tactical errors at the end of that game, from a clock management standpoint that really just kind of gave an opening to the New England Patriots. I think they'd be the first ones to tell you that, you know, they probably should have lost that game, but when you give them an opening, you give them a crack, and they took it, seized it, ran with it, and ended up finishing the game off in overtime. But again, for the Atlanta Falcons, it was a great year. Matt Lyon had a great season. But again, the inexperience, I think, sometimes of being there in the big game, particularly in the very closing parts of a football game when you have to learn how to close games, sometimes that experience kind of raises its ugly head when you don't have it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the leadership really shone through of Brady. And I saw a clip where they had Edelman and Brady mic'd, and they kind of showed him throughout the whole game. And I was struck by, especially in the fourth quarter, and they're talking, you know, they're walking up and down the lines and talking about, this is not over, let's make history. It's like that leadership quality of kind of suspending the belief on how it's going to get done. You just know it's going to get done. That to me is what I was sensing in that momentum. I mean, it kind of, I don't know why it surprised me, but it did. It was refreshing to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, you're looking at a football team that expects to win and realizes that no game's ever over. And I think, again, I think that's an experience that comes. And and again, it manifests itself when you do have success. And I think that, you know, again, that starts at the very top. And, you know, having a quarterback who's been there before, and to his own admission, maybe not his best game. But the bottom line, I think, when you get involved, particularly in the game of football, it's about how you can play in the fourth quarter, what you do when the pressure is on, how do you respond to it? And again, the experience factor, the confidence factor, and as you state, the leadership element of that is something that, you know, a lot of players, when they get in that huddle and they look at a player like that and he starts to talk, you believe in him. And again, yeah. I think Matt Lyon is that same type of leader on his football team. Unfortunately, he never got a chance to see the ball
right.
because of the overtime.
Right. Well, and I always like, I mean, my favorite thing about watching football, I always watch how coaches react. I was always a big fan of your leadership style. I loved your passion, your intensity, but there was a degree of humility with you in there as well. And when you look at Belichick, even up to the last minute, I never really hear people talk about his humility, but he seems like a humble guy, right? I mean, and he coaches all the way to the end. That's what I noticed about that game, that he wasn't, not that anybody was panicking, but I saw an extra degree of compartmentalized composure that I hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Bill for over 20-some years, competed against him, and got to know him very well as a friend and, you know, as a colleague, certainly. So, I mean, you know, I think the one thing about the great game of football is that, you know, you play every situation. And I think, again, you realize no game is ever over till it's over, right? Whether you have a lead or there's a deficit. So he understands how to manage a game. He understands the decisions that have to go with that. And he also understands the good fortune of a good bounce here and there or a team that certainly makes a tactical error and you have an opportunity to jump on and pounce on it. So, I think that's, you know, that's why the game of football, I think, is so great. And it brings out the very best of people, and it also can expose some of the weaknesses and the things that you have to work on as you continue to gain that experience. And I think that's what we saw in the Atlanta Falcons, is a football team that tremendous talent. I think that Dan Quinn will learn from this situation. I know in my 15 years as a head coach, I never quit learning. Win with humility, and you keep growing as a person, as a coach, as a leader. And I think Dan will become a better coach because of it.
Yeah, for sure. I just can't. That loss has to be so painful. I can't imagine. He's never going to. I mean, how do you shake that? I don't know if you do, right? I mean, how do you go forward?
Oh, you go forward. It's not as hard as people think. I lost a Super Bowl and I won a Super Bowl. And, you know, I think the biggest thing you look at it from his perspective in the second year is that, you know, what they've done is they've raised the level of expectation. And what you're trying to do with any organization, with any business, is you keep trying to raise the bar, and that becomes what the expectation is. And I think the biggest thing you have to do from there is make sure then you don't allow yourself to let, you know, complacency seep in. I think that's the thing that great leaders do. They don't get complacent with where they are, and they continue to grow. And I think Dan will continue to do that. And again, they got a great nucleus. They got a very good quarterback. And I think that, you know, the biggest thing you can do is to grow off of this year, and don't let that to be something that can become an obstacle. It's really what that does. What that created was an opportunity to start a life cycle of expectation that allows Atlanta Falcons to become a better football team going forward.
Yeah. What about when you went to your first Super Bowl? You know, you're 38 years old, and then you're back again 10 years later, and you're 48. What's the difference? How did you mature and grow? If you can look back in perspective, what were the leadership lessons you learned within that kind of 10-year gap?
Well, the first thing I learned is it's not so easy to get back.
Right.
So, you know, so it's 10 years later. So it's like I remember the mantra that we kind of had that week was that never remember who loses a Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, you always, when you get there – you always remember the winners because they go down in history, but you really very rarely outside of the Buffalo Bills, who went there four straight years, no one really remembers who loses that game.
Right.
I think the biggest thing you go back here is you get a chance to go back there is it's a big stage. It's a great stage. You want to embrace it, but at the same time, you've got to stay focused on how you got there, not to lose sight of that. And I thought the Atlanta Falcons, for the most part, to be honest with you, I thought they played a very good football game.
Yeah.
Like I said, a couple of tactical errors near the end. Again, you know, I think for me personally, it was just, it was all about the journey. That was just one game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when you look at a season, when you end up playing 19, 20 games, and, you know, I know you maybe get defined by the one game, but I think through the course of that, what you realize is the journey you took was very special, and there's so many storylines along the way and things that you will always remember, not just the final game, but, you know, all the challenges that you go through, all the sweat and tear and that you go through during the course of the preseason and the regular season and, you know, some of the big games that kind of create the chemistry and actually create who you are from an identity standpoint. So it's a journey that a lot of times gets identified by one game, but when it's all said and done, it really becomes a very special year.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you've had a lot of, in playing sports in general, you get so many life and leadership lessons. But, I mean, you were under Lou Holtz. I just can't imagine how much of your leadership style, your journey, was impacted by working under Lou Holtz?
Well, I mean, I think what you do, I think, is I was blessed to have a lot of good coaches along the way. You know, obviously I had my high school coach, Bill Yost. I went to college. Lou Holtz, I had him for 1 year. You know, and then I had Bill Ryan for 3 years, and then I went to the pros, and it was 1 year under Dick Vermeil. I got cut, and I had Sam Rattignano, Marty Schottenheimer. So I was really very blessed to have had a lot of really good people in my life from a coaching perspective. And, you know, so they, you know, they teach you a work ethic. They teach you a mental approach to the game, an understanding of the game. Like, it's all about preparation. It's all about what you know, you got to put more in to get something out. And, I think every one of them really impacted me a lot. At the same time, you know, growing up in Western Pennsylvania, my father had a lot of impact on me. So,
yeah.
You know, I think you become a byproduct of all the people you run across in terms of, you know, your path as you go forward, whether it's in business or in sports.
How do you want to be remembered as a leader and a coach?
Oh, I don't. It doesn't. You know, the one thing that anyone that was around me was I was consistent. I held people accountable, and I embraced the journey. You know, I was a guy that I enjoyed every game. I enjoyed every year. Love the challenges, the coming off of a loss. Love the challenges of trying to keep something sustainable, and we were always going to be a tough football team. And I helped people, like I said, I pushed people. Hopefully, I made them better people, better players. And it was all about preparation, and again, it was about winning with humility and having great respect for the game.
Yeah, I certainly. That's always. Admired that of you. Again, it was that humility piece. And I looked at in all the coaches, I guess, but that intensity of will coupled with a tremendous amount of humility, I think is an unstoppable combination. And I'm curious, behind the scenes, a little inside baseball, I know we're talking football, but inside baseball for the term of when you had expectations for your staff, for your coaching staff, how did you run things? Were you a big delegator? Did everything have to run through you? What was it like? What were your expectations of your staff?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing was that you set expectations. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing you can do is make sure that you communicate and know what each person has to understand, what is expected from them from a rule standpoint, what their role is, you know, what their responsibilities are. Certainly delegation is something you have to be able to be good at if you want to, you know, when you have a lot of people working for you. So, you know, you're only going to be as good as the people you surround yourself with. That is for sure. But you still want to be involved with things. And again, enough from the standpoint where you can hold people accountable. And I think, again, that's the biggest thing to me is, you know, I try to hold people accountable. I try to, you know, make sure that I encouraged innovation. And I wanted people to be innovative and thinking outside the box and make sure that there was a forum there that allowed them to share their ideas, because I always thought that that's how we would be able to stay a step ahead, is to, you know, kind of think outside the box and stay, you know, understanding what the current trends are. But at the same time, then make some tough decisions. And you have to base it on production and accountability. And I tried to do that not just with the staff, but also with the teams and what we're trying to build there. So that was kind of the traits that we tried, the culture we tried to have there. But again, it was, it was all about preparation. It was about making sure you understand exactly what your role was. That was my job, to make sure that I explained that. And then at the same time, that job also allowed that person to feel like they could be innovative, they can be creative, and not to be able to harness them, but create an environment where people felt like that they were, they were buying in, and that they were taking ownership of the whole thing. And everybody from whatever level they were at, they took ownership in the team.
What do you think is your most memorable, if you could look back? I mean, there's so many things. One memory that just stands out above all that you just like to revisit?
I don't know if it's, certainly certainly winning the Super Bowl when you're involved in football all your life, like I've been, you get there and you lose one, to get there and win one in my 14th year, which was very late in my career. It took on a lot of, I really cherished that because I realized how hard it was. I think right. You don't realize how hard it is to win one until you get involved with it and you stay in it long enough and you see all the different disappointments that come along the way. So certainly that was a very gratifying moment for me, just because of all the efforts and sacrifices, not just for me, but my family had made for me to be able to do what I did. And again, it's a gratification of winning one. Certainly, makes that journey that you take talking about very fulfilling. So that's probably the biggest thing I take away from it. And just be feel very blessed to be able to make a living doing a job and a game that I was playing from I was 8, 9 years old.
Right.
Still be able to do it, and even to this day, doing it on TV, I've been very blessed.
What about the differences? If you look back, I mean, you hear a lot of people on this show. I've talked to a lot of CEOs, and they've talked about the generational differences of leading and inspiring a different generation. Is it different in football? I mean, a coach, say if you're a 38-year-old coach now or starting like you did when you were 28, how different is the profession in terms of motivating and inspiring and coaching today's players versus when you were coming up?
Well, again, it's been 10 years since I've been out, but I've been involved with the game enough, been in enough locker rooms just even now in the last few years. It's a different generation. There's no question. I think we're in a much more transparent world than we've ever been in, just because of social media and all the different platforms that are out there. So transparency, certainly you got to be very careful with what you're doing. I think the sacrifices that you professional athletes have to make are greater now than they were before, because again, you're up on a pedestal. You are a role model, whether you like it or not. And so
right.
With that's going to have to, you have to be very careful with what you do and who you surround yourself with. But at the same time, when you're coaching, I think that players, they want three things. They want a sense of direction. They want structure, and they want accountability in the locker room.
Right.
And I think if you bring those three things, it doesn't matter what generation of people you're talking about. If you get the right people in there, that's the culture you're trying to create, is they want a sense of direction, continuity, growth with systems, keep the systems the same. They want structure. They want to know what people are going to be, how we're going to do it, how we're going to get there. And they want to make sure that along the way, there's a sense of accountability with each and every individual. So I think if you can do those things, what you are is building a culture that's going to be sustainable over a period of time, one that's built on the expectation that it should be one of very high success.
I agree with you. Sometimes I think we make it more difficult than we need to, because what you just laid out there are really timeless principles, no matter who you're dealing
yes.
with. I mean, those are basic human kind of wants and needs, right? Yeah. So I love that answer. Yeah.
I love
that. Yeah. What do you think the future of the game? I hear a lot of people talking about they're scared about the future of the game, where it's going, the direction of the NFL. What's your take on it? How do you feel about the future of the NFL?
Well, I mean, the game is, I think, like I said, that because of the transparency, because of all the knowledge we have now, certainly concussions are a big concern that they have with the game of football, because it is a contact game. But I think because of that, we're learning more of how to teach the game safer, particularly at the grassroots level. I think we're doing that. We're taking the head out of the game. Certainly you're seeing maybe concussions going down. I think we won't know long term as to what the degree of it is, but I think the game is safer. And I think, again, the positives of the game of football far outweigh the negatives when you terms of all the things that it, the game promotes, and nothing more than just opportunity that gives some people that may not otherwise have a chance to go to, you know, college and to get, to be able to go to better places than where they are. And, you know, it creates teamwork. It gives identity to young kids, you know, growing up. It's all different body parts can play the game. You put a helmet on, you're part of a team. I think for young boys and young men, again, like I said, I had three daughters growing up. I got some grandsons. I hope they get a chance to play it. I would never force it on anybody, but I would never deny them the opportunity to play the game, because I think it, there's something about the game that's very special, particularly for young boys. And like I said, there's so many pluses I think that outweigh any of the negatives and concerns.
I agree. And it's one of those, all sports, but I mean, football in particular, because of the time frame, and I guess because of the intensity involved, there's so many life leadership lessons, and particularly the overcoming adversity piece. I think a lot of times it seems like we try to get through life with no adversity, but it's actually that adversity that kind of promotes or produces greatness, right? I mean, it's like you can't become great unless you experience some sort of adversity.
Well, I've always said, Richard, I said, you know, you're not going to be defined by how many times you get knocked down. You'll be defined by how many times you continue to get back up. Because
right.
That, to me, is what life is all about. We're all going to get knocked down at some point. But it's the people that can learn from that and continue to get back up, the resiliency part of that. And I don't think you can learn that early enough in life, that sometimes,
right.
you know, you're going to get knocked down just like you do in football. But you continue to get back up and continue to work and to fight and work ethic, and you never quit anything you start, and never be intimidated by anything. I think those are qualities that can help you throughout the course of your life.
Absolutely. And in defeat too, how you handle yourself in a defeat, I think is a great mark of character and learning experience, right? And you certainly get that on the field of football or any sport, but I mean, how you handle yourself when you've been knocked or defeated or lose is telling, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to say, I said, adversity doesn't build character. It just reveals it.
Right.
And I think that's the one thing that you always find out. It's so easy when you're winning, but when you start to go through the challenges and adversity has sets in, you really find out not just about other people around you, you find out about yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So I think being resilient, being, you know, a sense of purpose, and just to continue being able to take every challenge and look at every challenge as more of an opportunity than it is an obstacle.
Yeah. Hey, before I forget, I wanted to thank you for your support that you've given the military over the past few years. I know you've made a trip or two over to, was it Afghanistan did you go to? I can't remember where you went.
Yeah, 2009, I went to Iraq and to Baghdad. In 2012, went to Afghanistan. And I got to tell you, both those trips, the USO tours went through the National Football League. I can't say enough about what our troops do over there. I think if anybody has been over there, it's life-changing. It's like, talk about being selfless. I mean, there's a lot of young men over there and women over there that they're not exactly sure why they're there, but they're there because they're there to represent and to protect our freedoms that we have here in America that so much we take for granted at times. So I say to every military person that's done a tour, and any military person that's even right here right now, thank you for all you're doing. You know, we are in the greatest country in the world. We have the greatest freedoms and opportunities that sometimes we take for granted. It's because of our military that we're allowed to do this and feel good about and safe about where we are. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate, I know in being a vet, I know, and people in the military do appreciate that. And anybody that makes that trip and sees that over there, that means a lot. And when you go on those trips, I can imagine it puts things in perspective. Anytime you travel outside of these states, I think that was probably the biggest thing I did when I traveled in the Marine Corps, going all over the world. I mean, I always appreciated this country, but when I got away from it, well, then
exactly.
I really realized how good we have.
Yeah. Yeah. You get away and you get out there and you're seeing, you know, we're in Iraq and there's National Army is on the same base with the USA Army. And, you know, you just, wow, you can never let your guard down. There's just a sense of just always just on edge. Everyone's on edge all the time.
Right.
And I said, you just don't realize the life they're living and the sense of purpose. And they got to always be, you know, right there and understand exactly whatever situation they're in. They can never let down their guard, literally. And
yeah.
So, wow, you come back here and you just makes you appreciate all the things that you guys did and that you have done over there. And, you know, and so that I understand now when you come back, I don't think we appreciate you guys enough. And yeah. I have always encouraged people that there's no one that's going to be more innovative than a military person. They're not going to be more accountable than a military person. And there's not a person that's going to be more team oriented than someone who's been in the military abroad. So I tell you what, if you had a chance to put them on your company, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, that's a great endorsement. I appreciate you saying that. You know, any modicum of success I've had up to this point, I can attribute to the time in the Marine Corps for sure. And
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of like I look at that service kind of pretty much like you look at football, I'm sure. You know, it's so many life lessons it has taught you. It's made you the man who you are. For
no
sure.
Doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
When you look at the roster, if you look at the field of kind of these up and coming coaches or even the experienced ones that are out there, who do you really like and admire? I mean, who do you think really gets it?
Well, I mean, I don't like putting names on things because I feel like I'm going to leave somebody out.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So, I get it.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I like some of the young coaches that are getting opportunities right now, and everyone talks about, well, there's no candidates out there. And, you know what? There's so many good young people. There's so many people that, you know, they're given the right opportunity. The only thing I've tried to do is encourage owners to give a coach 3 years. You know, if you give a coach 3 years, you see how they're trending after 3 years. You know, then if you need to make a change, I get it. But you see these guys that are getting, given these guys, hiring them, and a year later they're firing them. All you're doing is admitting it's not because of him, it's you. Mm-hmm. You didn't hire the right guy. Mm-hmm. You know, so don't judge him on 1 year. Don't judge him on 2 years. Give a guy 3 years. If it's not getting trended in 3 years, I get it. Now, you know, it's easy for me to say. I know that sometimes we don't see everything that's going on behind closed doors. And sometimes there are circumstances that may not allow that to happen. I get that. Totally understand that. But I think from a general standpoint, you give anybody 3 years to run your organization and you see how they're trending in those 3 years, then make a change if needed. But hopefully what you'll do is you'll see it trending in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. That's great. Sometimes it seems like they don't give them enough time. I mean, obviously you went in, I think the 91 season, 91, 92, they were, 6-7 or 7-9 or something? And then you came in and then you went to 11-5. I mean, what a great improvement on your first season, right? But why do you think that was? I mean, I know there's so many aspects to it, but why do you think the big turnaround?
Oh, it's hard to say. You know, I mean, again, you know, it's very difficult to sit there and say, okay, this is what happened. I think if we all knew that,
we would box it up and sell it. Right.
Yeah. You know, but there's no real manuscript. I think every situation is uniquely different. You know, you walk into a building and there's certain good qualities about it. And there's certain qualities that you have to change. And that's why their change maybe was made. You know, I mean, I know Chuck Noll is a Hall of Fame coach, great coach, but they'd only been to playoffs one time in 7 years prior to me getting there. And, you know, sometimes we changed the whole staff. We changed everything that was being done there. And it worked out, you know, but that didn't diminish what I was able to do because there was a lot of qualities that Chuck Noll had installed in that football team and that organization that I was blessed to able to have inherited. And then at the same time, you know, taking it to the next level of trying to make sure that, again, it's a team that you're building around what you would like to be, what it looks like, and the vision you have for it, and the culture you're trying to create. So it takes a lot. It's the Rooneys are a tremendous organization and a family that's very supportive. And, you know, that's why they've only had three coaches, I think, in like the last 47
right.
years. So it's a pretty special place.
I'm thinking about, you know, to be in your early 30s and be a head football coach. I mean, I'm 48 now, and I think, oh, my gosh, I don't know. I just, it would seem so, I mean, I'm a confident guy. I like to take on challenges, but I'm like, oh my God, I'd feel like I was going to be found out, you know, sooner or later, they're going to find out that they got the wrong guy or something, you know, I mean, how scared was it? I mean, how foreign was it, you know?
Well, you know what? I think having the fear of failure is not a bad thing. I think we all had that. I think you talk to any NFL coach, I think the fear of failing becomes the motivational, part of why you are successful.
Right.
I think if you talk to any CEO, I think that's probably true too. I think we all have this fear of failure. And I think that also the ability to be able to use that as the fuel and the motivation of why you put the time, the effort, the preparation, the, you know, the attention to detail and you apply everything you do because, you know, you don't want to fail. And I think when you have that quality where some people can become complacent, some people are okay. They just get there. You know, whatever happens is going to happen. And I think when you get there to be driven enough to do whatever you need to do, to continue to be successful is a great motivating force. And I think that we all had that. I know I had that in my 15 years. I just didn't want to fail. And I feared failing.
Yeah. And it's like that fear can be a great barometer. You know, it can tell you what you should be doing. Yeah. I agree with you. And it's getting comfortable with it. You know, I think realizing that the fear and uncertainty never really goes away. It never goes away. And so if that's the price of admission to what we need to do to achieve something of significance, then let's just get on with it and get used to it. Yeah. And tackle it.
It becomes a way of measuring the level of competition you have within yourself. How competitive are you? Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you're okay with losing, and then all of a sudden, to me, that's the degree of complacency. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't accept it, but you certainly just you deal with it. You learn to deal with it, but that also becomes the driving force of why you want to change something.
Yeah. So, what's next as we kind of wrap up here? What's exciting for you? What's in the future for you?
Well, I'm with CBS. I'm looking forward to continue my job there with them. We have Thursday night football next year for the first half of the season. So I do that on Thursday nights in the studio, show, the pregame show with CBS prior to on CBS on Sundays. And you know what? I really love working with CBS. It's a great family. Again, like I said, it gives me my football, you know, it fixes my niche for football, my itch that I get for that. So yeah, I get filled with that. And in the off season, I do a lot of traveling. I do some speaking and I'm in a good place. I've got three grandkids and I'm enjoying life right now.
Well, Coach, I'm a big fan of you, have been for a long time, even though Kansas City is my team. It's a rival. I mean, I've always appreciated the Steelers. I've always appreciated your leadership style. Love how you are as a coach, as a human being, as a man, as a leader, and it's just been an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you, Richard. And again, I know that you're a vet, and I know that this goes out to a lot of the people that are serving our country, and I can't say it again. I'll say it just thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for every military person for what they're doing and what they've done. We all owe you so much, and because we would not have the freedoms we have today, isn't for people like you and our military today that are over there fighting for our freedoms that we sometimes take for granted here. So I would just say, speaking on behalf of everybody, thank you for everything that you've done and continue to do.
Awesome stuff, Coach. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the show. Hope you're finding some great value in Dose of Leadership. Hey, go check out my website, doseofleadership.com. Get your free access to some videos or to my free ebook. Also, check out richardryerson.com if you're interested in one-on-one coaching, group coaching, seminars. If you're needing somebody to speak at your next event, I'm always available. Check out more at richardryerson.com. Let me know where you're at in your leadership journey. I'd love to hear from you. Richard@doseofleadership.com. It's a great way to get in touch with me. Find me on my Facebook page, LinkedIn, Twitter. Get in touch with me. We'll make it a great one.